Good morning, everyone. This is a good day to talk to you about trust. Not so much as a concept, but as a healing, so that we can each deal with the places in our hearts that have been hurt, that have been wounded by past experiences. And as a result of that, we project that past experience onto the present. And in addition to that, we project it onto life. We project the past experiences onto life and onto God. Many people do. So we need to acknowledge the issues around trust because we live in a time when the choice between trust and mistrust is a very, very important one. We live in a time when events around us, collectively speaking, in this country or in the world, can move us in one direction or the other of trust or mistrust in life. And in the future, and in the future of our own life. So I want to talk with you about what it is to choose trust, because it is a choice. It's a choice that we need to make. And we make it in the face of other choices that we decide not to make. The primary other choices being anger or fear. Either of those, anger or fear, lead us away from trust. So sometimes we don't know exactly what to put our trust in, especially if we're talking about other people, but we know what direction not to go in, and that's a good thing. We can say to ourselves, I don't know where to go to heal my feelings about mistrust, but I know not to go there. That's a good thing. The way of healing of trust in a spiritual life is to become trustworthy. It's to become what you want others to be. It's not the way of demanding that everybody in the world become trustworthy, because it doesn't work that way. People become what they're able to become and what they want to become. But when each of us becomes trustworthy, we can rely on our own perception of our own goodness. We can rely on it. We can rely on our own perception of our own way of evaluating life because we have let go of those elements that make life untrustworthy. It's an old adage, a spiritual adage, let's say, that change begins at home. But it's very true. The healing of trust is to become trustworthy. Trustworthy through your own healing, your own intention to become the motivation that you want to see in the world. Become it, which is primarily about becoming love. If you're not in that place, if you are instead in a place of resentment, anger, vindictiveness, the willingness to blame others for doing things that are wrong, the willingness to blame anybody about anything, really, then you're not in a place to make a clear decision about what to trust and how to trust, because essentially those motivations of anger and resentment and vindictiveness tie you up with that which you're feeling is untrustworthy. In other words, you are in that process of generating those feelings, becoming part of the reason not to trust. You're becoming part of it. So, the healing of trust is to become trustworthy and to know your own motivation, your own motivation, your own goodness, your own heart. And when I say your own goodness, I'm speaking with the assumption, and it's an important one, that we carry goodness as an essential quality of the heart. Each of us carries purity of goodness as a divine component of who we are. That doesn't mean that we've acted that way in life. It means that it's the essential foundation of what human beings are and what we are, what we are. So part of the healing of trust is to become trustworthy, to stabilize love within yourself so that you can know your own heart and therefore know what's going on around you. If you can't do that, you'll see through a filter of all the other feelings that are crowding out love, and you won't know what's going on around you. You'll be enmeshed in the feeling of confusion and also in the justification for blame. That doesn't go any place. If we were to get to a place of believing in our own goodness through separating ourselves from those feelings that are not love, through strengthening our intention to be love, to be trustworthy, to be conscious of others, to care for them, then the second part of healing the issue of trust is to become aware that there's a difference between a person's heart and their actions. Heart is the inner being connected to the soul, the person's inner deepest motivation. Actions is wherever someone is in their own consciousness, which may or may not be connected to their own deepest goodness, may or may not be. So when we're in a place of stability, in our own lovingness and in our own trustworthiness, then we can see clearly, or more clearly, what's the difference between a person's inner being and the way they're acting, which tells us, what should I trust? How much of heart is present? How much of goodness is present in that person able to be expressed? We can look at that and make decisions about actions based on that kind of discrimination. But there's absolutely no way of making that discernment if we are filled with blame. Absolutely no way, because in the presence of blame and in the presence of judgment, you can't feel anybody's goodness. All you can feel is their lacks. And feeling someone else's lacks, you can spend the rest of your life doing that, being aware of the lacks in yourself or in other people. It doesn't go anywhere. It's a dead end. Spiritually speaking, it's a dead end to just be aware of people, what people are lacking. But if your heart is clearer, then you can look at the issue of discrimination between action and heart and decide what is real in the present moment in terms of your response to a situation. And very often, if you're free of judgment, if you're free in your own trustworthiness, then you can decide, you can make a reasonable decision about when to trust, how to trust, how much to trust, who to trust, and so forth. I'll say it to you again, you cannot do that if you're looking through the filter of judgment. Then the discrimination becomes completely clouded over, biased, and not at all clear. So you might as well forget it. So first focus on your own trustworthiness before you try to make any kind of discrimination about what's going on with anybody else. One of the other important things about healing mistrust is compassion. We as human beings have lived with a lot of reasons that we have felt disappointed in others and in life. We felt real hurts, real disappointments. sometimes for many lifetimes. So we need to have compassion for ourselves, to know that the hurt is real, to know that we've carried suffering around the issue of trust for a long time. We need to have compassion. But that compassion needs to lead to the intention to live in the present, not in the past. We have compassion for the past. We don't deny it. We feel the hurt as hurt. Not retaliation as hurt. We feel the hurt. And then we make a decision to be in the present. These are the three parts: becoming trustworthy, discriminating between action and heart, and compassion. These are three parts of the healing of trust, and they all need to go together. But there is a fourth part, and the fourth part has to do with the divine level of the healing of trust. Often we have tried, having been hurt, tried very often for a very long time to bind the wounds, to get over it, to, you know, become trusting again, because it's a great liability to not trust. It's a great liability. So then we come to the place of identifying the divine source of healing within us. What is the divine source of healing within us? Because with wounds that are deep, that needs to be called into play. That divine source of healing is light. That divine source of healing is light, which breaks up the negative emotions that we may have been carrying for lifetimes, of which mistrust is one of them. Divine light is an energy which can penetrate all forms of darkness, all forms of being hurt. So calling upon divine action to help with the healing of mistrust means allowing ourselves or making ourselves available to light. That's critical. It doesn't just happen. We have to make ourselves available to light. And that's connected with the first part, becoming trustworthy. How do we make ourselves available to light? Well, first of all, we have to want it. We have to want to involve God's action in our daily life or in our heart's daily life. We have to want it. If we are intent on doing everything ourselves, then we're in that frame of reference. So first we recognize that there is something to call upon, a divine something, a divine source. Then we, to open to light, have to turn away from darkness. It's the part about becoming trustworthy. We have to ask for help to turn away continuously from those energies which are anti-light. Anti-light are all forms of hatred, all forms of judgment, all forms of negative evaluations about others and about life. We have to decide to turn away from them, to turn towards light. That doesn't mean we have to do it perfectly. We don't. But there's a little turning that needs to take place towards the light. Every time more thoughts come of being angry, turn towards the light. Every single time thoughts go towards fear, turn towards the light. And stop making excuses for ourselves. If we make excuses for ourselves and say, it's no big deal, I mean, I'm entirely justified in feeling angry, then that's not turning towards the light. Then that's embedding ourselves further in the energies of darkness. So I want you to picture this as a divine human partnership. To allow light in so that healing can take place involves a divine and human partnership. And it's not that the divine acts independently or your human will acts independently. It's a combination of human intention and divine action, wedded to each other. You need to, we all need to, look at the places where we're making excuses for ourselves, where we act like or think in terms of how our thoughts go, well, it doesn't matter that I'm feeling this way. Anybody given this situation would feel that way. That's what we do, self-justification. We say, such and such a situation happened, and I was treated unfairly. Somebody spoke to me in a way that was abrasive or accusatory or critical. Therefore, I'm entitled to feel such and such. Well, okay, you can do that. But you can't open to light and do that. That's not the way it works. You can't be entitled to justify emotional responses that are negative and that are entitled and still be open to light. In that place, you close the door. In that place. And the way it closes is through justification. The mind says, well, anybody would feel the way I'm feeling right now. I have every reason to feel hurt. I have every reason to feel angry. That's it. That can be the bottom line for you. And if so, you've closed the door to healing. So you get to choose that, whether that's the place you reside, justifying anger. Or if your motivation is strong enough, then you decide, as I said to begin with, to become trustworthy. Trustworthy means you turn to love, you turn to light. No matter what you're feeling, it's not important enough as the desire, the intention, to turn to love, to turn to light. You keep doing that. It's a shift in motivation from feeling justified to feeling open to having change occur, knowing that change occurs in this way. It doesn't occur through feeling justified in being angry. This is a very big subject, and it has a lot to do with the spiritual life. Because those feelings that are unhealed about trust on the human level often, not always, but often get projected onto the divine level. We don't trust God's love. We don't trust life in terms of its unfolding goodness. We have fear and we have anger about the world. We have big projections from our individual life to the life of the divine. Many, many of us do. And many of us do it secretly. Secretly from ourselves. We have been hurt, and so we don't exactly know that we're operating on the basis of hurt. We don't exactly know that it's informing our motivation. But then when something happens to us, we don't immediately think, how can I help this become an event that's positive? We don't immediately think, the divine is with me. We don't immediately think, this event is meant to teach me something. No, we don't go there. Because of the projection of the individual hurt onto the divine, we get lost in the event itself, the specifics, usually the fear. Fear takes over, and we don't feel we're being held. We don't feel trusting. Maybe we're trusting in other times, or when things aren't difficult, but in the times of challenge, when something difficult happens, that's the place. Who's holding you? Who's holding life? What is holding life? What? That's the place where the challenge comes up, to feel held, to know and to feel. And again, I'm not saying that this needs to happen perfectly. I'm just trying to show you that whatever is unhealed inside your own heart individually gets projected as an attitude towards life. But that's all changeable, beloved ones. It's all changeable. It's all changeable by continually taking the responsibility to turn away from those things that are blocking light and turn towards love and turn towards light and turn towards becoming trustworthy. That is the way of a spiritual life. Change begins at home, with yourself. We live in a time of great challenge. There are violent things going on around the world now. There are violent things going on in this country. There are violent emotions being generated. There are violent actions being generated, especially in recent times. And it is of utmost importance that we decide to not be part of that, to not add fuel to the flame of violent action and violent thought. And you only know, you, each of you, know in your own heart whether you're adding fuel to that flame, because any entitlement to feel angry, for example, adds fuel to the atmosphere of violent thought. You may not be interested in committing violence. I'm not speaking on that level at all. But I'm asking you to take responsibility for your thoughts, to not contribute to the world's atmosphere of feeling entitled to be angry, and to, out of that anger and helplessness, to do what people do. I'm asking you to think about whether you are at a place where you want to contribute something that creates change instead of contributing to what's already difficult. And it is very difficult. But you came here to do this, so here we are. Each of you came here to do this at this time. You chose a body, you got into that body, you organized your DNA, made a little spiritual file folder of the things to accomplish in this life. And this is one of them, to be the light in the presence of that which is not light. That's the choice you made to come here, to be the light. And however fumbling you may feel about it, however many shortcomings you may feel you have, that's the choice you made, and it's written in your file folder. I made this choice to come here, to be of the light, to help the earth at this time. And you did, and you are. So the last thing I want to say about this is about positive action. Nothing that I'm speaking about, because this question comes up very often, nothing that I'm speaking about prevents a person from acting literally on behalf of some goal or some purpose that seems to be requiring outer action. Nothing. I'm speaking entirely from the place of inner source, where outer action comes from. Everything, beloved ones, everything depends on that when we're talking about change. Where does action come from? What is the motive that creates the action? So whether you act outwardly or not, whether you are involved politically or not with political or social action, that's entirely up to you, the calling of your heart, what you feel called to. I'm saying to you, let the source from which your action comes be the source of trustworthiness and love. That's what needs to happen so that the world can change into a place of trustworthiness and love.